Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love the Perkins Day alumnus who founded the social networking site Yumi.com.
We do. We love him so much. I was like, when I got to that part, I was like, I know him. That's my boy, Jamie, and I love him. He's great. He's good people.
I love Jamie.
Unfortunately, people in real life that create social media, you know, they're not networking sites or not usually as cool as Jamie is. I wish that they were.
How do you do the Gen Z heart?
Oh, Gen Z heart. Okay, so a Gen Zer, Tommy's been helped me. If you make two peace signs and then flip it and just bend, it helps me. That's okay. How she taught this millennial girl how to.
Jamie,
we heart you. Look, we heart you so much that we even did a Gen Z sign for you. Oh, look, your hearts are doing it. See, I just always go flip, flip, and then. True. I don't think mine looks as good as some of the other Gen Zs do.
I agree.
I'm a millennial woman trying, so y'all are just going to have to deal with it, I guess. You're speaking of things that did look good, though, that DeLorean graphic.
Thank you.
If you are not watching us on YouTube, please do, because you're missing out on things like the greatness that is the DeLorean graphic, all the beautiful graphics actually that my plan has done now that she's been editing us in video form as well.
Yes.
So yeah, come subscribe, like, comment, share with your friends. If you still just want to listen to our voices because you're like driving or something, safety first, 10 and 2 ladies, and listen to us just driving, that's fine. Obviously, please do not watch us in video format then. But if you have the time and you want to, I texted my mom because she told me that she was watching. And I was like, just wait till you get to the time travel part. I was like, the amount that I am excited about this, truly. Love it. I love it.
Perfect.
Today we are reading chapter 3. Before we do, story time for y'all. The reason we are only reading chapter 3 and not chapter 3 and 4 is this. Okay. So usually, when we are doing Deaths and Days, over the weekend on like Sunday, I will read, if not all of it, at least half of it. Like I kind of look at how long the chapters are going to be, try to read some of it before night time, snuggle into bed, read a little Death In. And then that way, when I get home from work on Monday, when we record, I only have like a little bit to read, or hopefully, ideally, none at all, but sometimes a little bit to read. That did not happen this week because there I was during my normal Sunday. And I painted my nails. I like doing my nails on Sunday. It just sets me up right for the work week. And I go to do my nails, and which means I have to go into my bathroom and reach into my cupboard. And there's like this little blue caboodle that's like all my nail polishes. Okay. And I see a palmetto bug, y'all. And I hate bugs with every fiber of my being. They scare me so much. And I would also like to preface this by saying, if you are not someone who lives in the Southeast, please do not think that I am dirty or that my house is overrun with bugs. It is just during the summer months into the fall, which in the fall in the Southeast, it is still kind of hot outside. Palmetto bugs just get in. Like no matter what you do, they get in. My townhouse that I live in, they spray. So usually when I find them, they are dead. But every once in a blue moon, I find a live one and I freak out, obviously. So I yell bloody murder. Mike comes running up the stairs and he's like, what's going on? I'm like, there's a bug in the caboodle. I'm shutting my nail polish. And I'm like hyperventilating. And he's like, okay, well, like, let me find it. So he goes and he's like, let me tell y'all something about my husband. He gives up so quickly when trying to find a bug. I'm like, no, we are burning this house down for insurance. We are finding this bug come hell or high water. He like peeks his head down where I tell him I saw. And he's like, I don't see anything. And I'm like, tear the freaking under the sink apart, please, for the love of God. So he is just like taking, and I like, when I tell y'all, my under my bathroom cabinet is so cluttered. Like it's so messy. I have so much crap. Like I should really go through it. But anywho, it's so cluttered. So he's like nail polish bottles, sunscreen bottles, sunscreen that's probably expired. Let's be honest, this, that, the other thing. And he's like, I do not see a bug anywhere. So he realized, because I've never really stared at beneath my, like, you know, I almost said kitchen sink, bathroom sink before. There was a little hole, like, in the, so there's, like, the plumbing, and there's, like, a little hole in the drywall there, which shouldn't be there. And he's like, I think it scurried into the wall. And I was like, ah! And he's like, well, it's like gone. It's going to like die in the walls. And I was like, you think? And I was like, that, first of all, calling maintenance to get that caulked real quick, just so everyone's aware. And I was like, I don't know. I still think it's in here. I think it's going to come get me tonight while I'm sleeping. I'm freaking out. And so I have like glue traps. So I'm like spraying Raid everywhere. I'm sitting everyone right now with Raid. Just if you're watching this in video, you can see me holding a can of Raid. I'm insane.
Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, please. Please. And so I'm like raiding everywhere under the sink. I put a little glue trap down right by that hole in case like anything crawls out of it. It'll get stuck in the glue trap and we'll die. It won't go any further than the glue trap. Please, God. So anywho, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to go downstairs. I have to do my nails. It is so much later now that my mom calls me to discuss something. We're on the phone for forever. And I'm like, I am not going to get to reading my chapters. Like, I just know I'm not going to get to reading my chapters. Anyways, I go back up to the bathroom. I'm like downstairs for probably like an hour. I go back up to the bathroom. I'm just like looking. I'm like sitting around. I don't see it. So I'm like raiding by my bedroom because I don't want it to like get in there. I'm like freaking out. So needless to say, we did not find the bug. Long story short, very terrified about that. But the glue trap is there. Okay. And I'm hoping it's dead somewhere. And I didn't sleep like a wink last night.
Oh no.
It was so bad. So I was so tired all day. I'm really hoping to sleep better tonight. And I got home and I was like, yeah, I can like bebop these chapters out. I texted my family, I'm like 6:30, bet, be there. And I'm reading and I'm like, I'm not finishing this. It's not happening. So I texted her and I said, hey, can we do chapter 3? So today you get the story about how I couldn't find a bug, how I'm terrified of bugs, like deathly terrified. And how that is why we're only reading chapter 3. My dad once joked around, like, this is how serious I am about bugs, y'all. And it's real bad because I live in the Southeast where, again, like, you're just going to run into them. But my dad used to joke around that when a man came and asked for, like, my hand in marriage, he'd be like, yes, as long as you're prepared to kill bugs for her at all hours, you will have to search the house. She will not sleep unless she knows you have to show her. I used to tell my dad evidence because he once, like, tried to pull a fast one on me. He was like, yeah, it's dead. And it was not. And I caught him in a lie the next morning when it was in my bathroom still in my like childhood home. And so then ever since then, I was like, evidence. And my husband knows it too. I'm like, evidence. I need to see the dead bug. Like, you can't lie to me. Like, yay, I killed it. So yeah. So he was like, whoever marries you just needs to prepare that they're going to be like your on-call bug man. And I'm like, yes, absolutely.
I love it. I love it. I'm like that with spiders. Spiders. It's a hard no for me. There was a spider in my apartment when Andrew was at work and I had like a full breakdown. I was like, what do I do? I wet an entire bath towel and just threw it on top of the spider.
Did it work?
It worked. It didn't die.
Oh my God.
But it like surprising.
Stayed there.
It stayed there until Andrew got home and disposed of him, put him outside or whatever.
The bugs, the insects, the arachnids, whatever you want to call them, whatever species they are, they know like when your husband is not around. Like, I swear to God, like it'll be months without seeing a bug. And Mike will like go out of town for the weekend. And that is when it's like, and I'm like,
why? Oh my God.
You always choose to show up when he is not around.
Bugs.
I lived by myself in an apartment. My first ever apartment in Orlando, y'all, was by myself. And I had never lived by myself in my whole life. And I bought myself like 2 cans of Raid. And when I tell you, I went everywhere with it. This was a normal part of my day. Like, I would get home from work. I'd have one waiting by me at the door. I want everyone to know I lived in that apartment for 2 years and maybe saw 2 bugs in that entire time. And yet... was like, because I'm living alone and I know that I have no one to call on if I see something, if I see a critter, I wanted to be prepared. And so I would just like, it would sit by me like on the couch. Like, I put it on the floor on the couch and I was like in my living room. I'd be like, oh, going to the bedroom with my can of Raid. I know it's not normal. Like, I know that that's
your
not
emotional
normal
support can of Raid.
It really was. And so when I started dating Mike, this is when I went by myself. And I, like, the first time he came over, I was like, do not reach your can of Raid. He's going to think you're such a weirdo. Now he knows it, obviously. But yeah, I was like, just put it away. Just put it under the kitchen sink and pretend like you don't walk around with it. And now I've admitted it to all of you. So there you go. Just so you know, when I lived alone, I would walk around with a can of Raid.
Understandable, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, just in case I ever saw anything. And honestly, like, that probably was, like, of all the apartments I ever lived in the state of Florida, the place that I had the least bug issue. Thank God. The bugs knew. They're like, this girl's on her own. She can't handle it.
She can't handle this emotionally. She works at NBC. She can't handle this.
She's got a lot going on right now. She's getting in at, like, 2 a.m. She's already worried that, like, a murderer is going to be it. Like, I had a whole routine. It was like, get the bug spray in case there's bugs. Check everything as a single woman living by yourself getting home at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning from, you know, NBC, good old Universal. I was like, check the closet. Check the shower. Like, it was just this whole thing. It's hard, y'all, being a woman. It's hard. You're just paranoid all the time.
I've never lived alone, which is something I wish that I had gotten to do at one point, but
I'm now very grateful for it. I think it was a very good time and a very good thing to have done, but it was a little scary sometimes, especially because, like, my dad was insistent when he knew I was living by myself that I get an upstairs apartment. Jokes on you, my dude, because yes, it was upstairs, but the way my apartment was set up, the window, like, the stairs, there was, like, the little outside area, and there was a window right there, which was the window to my bedroom, and it was right by the stairs. So, like, you could easily, like, it wasn't like the window was, like, to the outside world, like, oh, looking over the backyard or something. It was to the stairs, like, that got you up to my apartment. And I was like, so someone could still easily, like, get in here, just saying. Thankfully, that never happened, obviously.
Seriously.
But when we, like, moved in, my dad was like, oh, so you being on the second floor basically means nothing. And I'm like, yep, that's a window to my bedroom right there by the stairs. Hi.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's scary out there, people. It's scary out there.
It is scary out there. Anyways, Saint Anything.
Yes. Chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3.
Quick recap, I guess, if y'all missed the last episode, we discussed chapters 1 and 2, and we learned about our main girl, Sydney, her older brother, Peyton, who got sentenced. We still don't know exactly what his full sentencing was, but we know it was for vehicular manslaughter, basically, like, drunk driving, mablobber, not manslaughter, because he didn't die.
No,
well, can you still be charged with manslaughter if someone is like attempted manslaughter? I don't know what
attempted manslaughter, maybe
would be the thing. Yeah, I guess. But anyways, drunk driving, he hurt someone. Accident. Yeah. This kid David, he basically hit while he was on his way home on a bike. Mom is like real rich lady vibes and is like, my little snowflake, little baby bird has never done a wrong thing in his life. And it's probably enabled him. Let's be honest. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, and Ames. How could I forget Ames? Oh my God, probably because I want to. Ames is Peyton's friend and, like, creepy McCreeperston, basically. And that's what you missed on Glee.
Really involved with the family for some reason.
Very, very involved. Disturbingly involved with the family.
Yes.
Chapter 3. Here we go.
It is the first day of school for Sydney. She's going to Jackson High. She transferred out of Perkins Day to try to, you know, not live in her brother's shadow. She also says she does this because she could tell that they were struggling financially. And this is how she could tell that they were struggling financially. It wasn't discussed outright, but there were signs. And here were the signs. We'd let our housekeeper go and sold one of our cars, as well as a beach house we really rarely used in Colby, our favorite coastal town. Wow, things must be dire.
Things are so dire. I wrote after that paragraph, so they rich, rich.
Yeah, they're rich, rich.
I was like, oh, they rich, rich. I was like, oh, yes, times are tough. They had to let go of their housekeeper and their beach house. Oh, scrapping for pennies. Honestly, lawyers are hella expensive, and I do feel for them on that regard. But also, I was like, yeah. I like that she feels so bad about it, that she's like, I'll go hang out with the riffraff in public school. And I was like, oh, like, that's, like, part of me is like, oh, that's nice. But also another part of me is like, you shouldn't have to, like, that's on your parents to, like, if her parents had been like, hey, we can't afford it, like, sure, by all means, like, don't be a brat, go to public school. But the fact that she took it upon herself to do that, I was kind of like, oh, like, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's, like, sad that she even noticed, like, kids shouldn't even, kids, like, are smarter than we think they are, but I wish, right, you know, circumstances, like, were different.
But yeah, I was like, okay. So I already kind of established in the first couple chapters that they were pretty well to do, but that really cements it, that them struggling for money means they had to sell their beach house. And it's like,
in one of their cars.
Yeah, I was like, okay, alrighty. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good times.
Good times. Good times abound.
But yes, she talks about how it's really big. They went there to visit when it was empty. She said she's gone to Jackson to enroll me 2 days ago after my brother was sentenced. She was like a walking ghost. So mom is just like not well. Mom is like really taking this baby boy, drove drunk and ruined a child's life, thing to heart. And she is, and we see this all the time, maybe not all the time in Dessen books, but definitely all the time, I think, in like young adult novels, is like there's an older sibling who's trouble, the younger sibling is just like doesn't exist, is ignored. Yeah. 100%. And that's kind of what's happening here. Like they still acknowledge she exists, but barely. She is like, the school was really big, but it was big in like a public school way, not like the fancy Perkins Day way, where that has, you know, had just gone through a huge remodel funded by an alumnus who founded the social networking site Yumi.com, aka Jamie, aka Koi Fish King.
Yes, Koi Fish King. Oh, I know, on a shirt that says Koi Fish King.
Koi Fish King. I know.
Koi Fish King. I love you.
I love it. But yes, Jackson, you know, is a public school. It's got old buildings, newish buildings, and occasional trailers here and there. It's also affordable. Yeah. It's also overcrowded AF.
Public school, baby.
Yeah. Literally.
I was like, ah, sounds like my high school.
You're like, I'm home.
I'm home. It's not properly funded, and there's so many portables because we can't. We're, like, so overcrowded. Oh.
The days. The good old days.
The days. The good old days. What a time.
Yeah, so they sit down in the guidance counselor's office to, like, get checked in, whatever, and it's kind of just, like, depressing because it's, like, again, public school. It's underfunded. It's, like, falling apart. And, so her mom like kind of takes everything in. And again, mom is like rich lady, like to the T. And mom is like horrified by this public school situation that she's looking at. And Sydney's like, it's okay. This is what I want. And she's like, oh, Sydney. And then she starts hysterically crying because that is kind of where she's at emotionally right now. She just cries constantly. Which I get, you know, this is a tough situation, but also like, ma'am, you have a child now, another one.
Yeah.
She's right there.
It's not just, you know, completely ignore her, which it sounds like is what is happening here.
Right. Mm. So she's flashed back now. She's back on her first day of school, getting ready to go. She's, changed her outfit a bunch of times. Her mom's like, you look great. You don't want to be late. So she heads out. And when she backs out of the driveway, she looks in the kitchen window and her mom is still sitting there. But she's not looking at her. She's just staring at the opposite wall, holding the mug near her chest because she's sad. And that's sad. It's a sad sight.
Yeah. Can I say something, and this is going to make me sound like probably a little terrible, but this is, so her son is in prison. Her son is also like 18 years old. So he was originally supposed to be going to like school for hospitality, which means he would have probably gone away to college. And yes, that's obviously very hard for parents, sending your little baby away to college. It's always an emotional time. I can't even imagine. I'm sure if I was a parent, I would very much struggle with it. I was like a kid. And when I like moved out of my parents' house, I was like crying over Easy Mac. So I get it. It's hard. It's hard on all parties. But here's the thing. If he would have gone to college, you wouldn't be able to see him all the time. Like, yes, he would still come home. Yes, you'd be able to check in with him whenever you want via like phone call, this, that, and the other thing. But she says that, like, anytime she can, she's going to Lincoln Correctional Facility. Like, she goes, like, twice during the week and, like, once on the weekends for visitation. And it's, like, she can't miss a visitation. And I understand, like, being in prison is not the same. You don't have access to, like, a cell phone 24/7. Obviously, you have specific phone call times and specific visitation times. But it's, like, here's the thing about people, like, when someone is in prison who is, like, basically adult age and they're like, oh, I have to see them at my visitation. I'm like, you wouldn't see them all the time, though. If they were, like, if he was off in school, you wouldn't. So I'm like, I get it. And, like, I think obviously, like, a part of rehabilitation, like, if you're actually, if prison actually worked the way it's supposed to in rehabilitating people and not the way it does, unfortunately, is having a good support system and is having people show up on visitor days. Like, I get that. But it sounds like it's basically always mom. And I don't know if that's by choice or if, like her choice, you know, obviously we haven't gotten that far. So I don't know if it'll come up that, like, dad doesn't want to go see him or that Cindy doesn't want to go see him or if it's just mom is like, I have to be the one who goes and sees him all the time. So I'm, part of me is like, yes, I'm a firm believer in, like, having a support system and, like, that's what's going to, like, get someone on the good side, you know, like, of leaving prison is, like, knowing they have a support system. But the other part of me is just like, oh, but it's just sort of crappy when you have another kid and you're, like, so worried about seeing your kid in prison all the time that you, like, completely tune out of being a parent to your other child.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. That's how I feel about that.
Who's, like, also struggling. Like, her brother also hurt somebody. She's also clearly struggling with that a lot, you know? Like, I'm not a parent, so I can't I'm sorry. If parents will listen to this and they're like, you don't understand. You're right. I don't. I don't. Absolutely. I 100% don't. But I just feel like you, like, becoming a parent means that your kids are your number one priority. So even right. if you're struggling, like, you still have to put in the effort to, like, be there for your child. The leftover child, I guess.
The spare. Yeah, I just, like, don't have multiple kids if you don't want to parent multiple kids. Like, I'm a firm believer in don't have kids if you don't want kids. Like, when people have kids, like, a child and don't know how to parent, I'm like, I don't know, like, you did this, you decided to do this. But yeah, if you have multiple kids, it's like, and again, yeah, who are we to childless dog ladies to tell parents right. how to parent, but just when I read things like this, I'm like, I'm not a parent, but
yeah, it's like, of course,
you have another kid. Do you forget that
there's, like, nuance and, like, parents yeah. are just people and
right,
you know, blah blah, and I get it, but also just looking at this strictly from, like, a 17-year-old's point of view, this is
right.
fucking shitty, and I wish it wasn't happening, especially because it doesn't seem like dad is there for her at all. Like, he doesn't even right. seem like he's we're, like, back to that Destin dad who's, like, yes. non-existent. Ew. Basically
he's like, just non-existent. Yeah, exactly. I just, it also ticks me off when, like, and again, I'm not saying that, like, Peyton is, like, the devil, that he's, like, the worst human being ever.
Right.
But it also pisses me off that, like, he did something wrong. And I'm not saying that you can't be upset about that, that you can't, like, honestly, my biggest fear about becoming a parent, if I were to, like, become a parent, would be that, like, my kid being, like, a bad person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, them being to ever, like, them inflicting, like, obviously you don't want your kid to get hurt. But I think what scares me more is, like, I would be so afraid to raise a kid who would inflict pain on someone else, would be the person who would be the person driving the car, you know? So I can't imagine that. Like, you raise this kid and you hope for the best for them, and then they turn out like this and you're like, oh my God. And obviously he's, like, struggling a lot, you know? I'm not saying he's a bad person, but from Cindy's point of view, I'm just like, she has done absolutely nothing wrong and you get right. zero attention. Like, how frustrating would that be? And, like, not to put my mom on blast, but she kind of, like, she was the youngest in her family. And, like, that kind of was her situation. Like, her siblings were always getting into things, getting into, like, trouble in a sort. And she could be relied on to be, like, the good kid. And so, like, in a sense, she got ignored a lot growing up because it's like, well, like, Jackie's doing fine. Like, we don't have to worry about her. And it's like, that's so frustrating. Like, if you're doing all the right things, like, to basically be ignored because you can be trusted to be good. And it's like, that's not how this works. Like I feel like you should be rewarded for like being the good kid, you know?
Yeah.
But not how it works, unfortunately.
Thank God me and all of my siblings were all degenerates that made horrible decisions and stressed my parents out. So shout out to us.
I don't know, like, what's more stressful. I'm curious. Like, obviously, there's no way to, like, tell. But, like, my mom, like, she was, like, the little angel child. And, you know, like she said, like, sometimes she felt like she was kind of ignored growing up. And I feel like that would be really terrible. But then on the other hand, I was the youngest of my sisters. And my sisters were, like, well-beloved and, like, perfect angels. And then I always felt like I had a lot to live up to because of that. And, like, again, I can't stress enough, like, I was a good kid. But I always felt like I had to be, like, better. Like, even if it's, like, I'm, like, a really good kid, but I have to be even better than that. Because, like, they already have these preconceived notions of what my family is for my sisters. And so, I don't know. I think it, like, kind of is sort of sucky either way. Basically, what I'm saying, all you older siblings out there that are like, it must be so easy being the youngest. Suck it. It's not, okay? We have problems, too.
Yes. Do you want me to tell you about all of my problems I have as the youngest child? No, you don't. That's not what this podcast is for.
Yeah. Sadly. We don't have time for that today, but maybe some other
day. Maybe some other day. Maybe some chaos day we'll do breaking down our childhood trauma.
It's not so easy. There's a whole eldest sister girls get the freaking pressure song from Encanto. Where's my It Sucks Being a Younger Sister song too? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm we're just like those.
The sad, like lonely ones who are like, oh.
We're always the ones
I was. I was the sad lonely one who was always like, oh.
I'm sad and lonely. Are all the younger siblings have crippling anxiety? I don't know. Maybe this needs to be studied.
Literally. Oh my God.
Oh,
Lordy. Anyway.
Anyways. The facts of our childhood drama. Again, I had a very good childhood. Y'all know how much I talk about my mom and my family on this podcast, and it was good. But I'm just saying, I think there's something to the fact that a lot of youngest siblings have crippling anxiety.
Yes. You can't escape childhood without some sort of trauma.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Like, you know.
I wish that was the case, but
even when your parents do the best and are the best, it's like you're still something is still going to happen, and you're still going to, you know, compare yourself or feel like you have to live up to your siblings or, you know, what have you.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Special guest appearance by Luna. Hi, Luna. Oh. Oh, she'd be bobbing out already. Okay, that was brief.
She was like, hate Spinnerbait. Not a fan.
Bye.
I have higher standards than that. Thank you.
She's like, only listen to the best podcast. Thank you.
True crime only. Thank
you. Yeah. She's a real true crime girly. What can we say? The border and her interest.
Oh my God. Can we just do a quick shout out to the one who has stolen my heart and has just made the past couple days just so wonderful for me? And that is Mudang the hippo.
Oh my God. Yes. I love how much everyone loves this hippo. And by everyone, I also mean me. I was like, why is this hippo so endearing?
She's so cute. I love her. So she reminds me of Willow.
And she, like, gives zero fucks. Like, she's like, this is my world. Y'all are just living in it.
Yep. I love her. I have her as my cell phone background right now because she just brings me much joy. Like, look at her.
For her.
It's the one where she's screaming. Cute. Oops. Hopefully my work email did not pop up.
She gets it. She understands female rage. And I respect that.
Yeah.
So much.
Same. Love her. An icon.
And maybe it's a good thing we're only doing chapter 3, because so far we're like 2 pages into this chapter and we're like, all right, and another thing Sydney's mom.
And another thing about growing up as the youngest. But anyway, after school, she doesn't want to leave because first of all, she's talking about how big and overwhelming and loud the school is. She talks about how she only had one true interaction all day. with a very perky girl named Deb, who was, in her words, a self-appointed Jackson ambassador. She appeared at my homeroom with a gift bag holding a school calendar, a Jackson football pencil, and some home-baked goods, as well as her personal business card if I had any questions or concerns. Deb.
I love that. Deb.
Gem. Every seriously, day, she gets what a gem. Better. I love her.
I know. And then I was like, do we think at this point she has already like made, like, is the, you know what I mean? Like in the timeline of Destinverse, like, where do we think this is? Is this like when she still like doesn't have friends, or has she now like found her footing because what happened to Goodbye has happened? I hope the Deb we meet in this book is like post what happened to Goodbye. She's still clearly in school and like being a great gem of a human being, but I like to think that she's like in her little circle of friends now.
What, weren't they seniors in What Happened to Goodbye?
I feel like they were, but I don't know for certain. Yeah, they were, because they're talking about going to college and all that jazz, because she's like, oh, it won't matter. I'm only going to the school for like 3 months, and then I'm going to be off in like college, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. So, is this, I guess, timeline-wise, either happening at that exact time? Is it happening before? I don't know. This is where I get confused with the Destin timeline. Sarah,
explain it to us. Write it down.
Yeah, explain the... Is this like some Star Wars stuff where episode 4 comes, you know, before episodes 1, 2, 3? I need to know. Sarah, let us know. But yes, Deb, what a gem.
But... she's so sad. I just like feel bad for her. She's like, now that I was alone, I wondered what to do with myself. I couldn't go home yet, as there were still a good 2 hours until dinner, the same stretch of time I dreaded even before my brother was sent away. Suddenly I felt so helpless. If I hated the crowds but also hated my own company, where did that leave me? It was the saddest I'd felt in a long time. I started my car. Like, if I drove off, I could leave the sadness there.
I'm so sad for her.
Me too. It's so hard to be a teenager and just like feeling things and being like, what am I doing? What is this? What are these feelings?
Feelings.
Sadness. Ennui. That's it. Ennui.
Oh, the ennui.
But she decides like to go to a pizza place that she sees in a little strip mall. She talks about how she used to go to this wicked fancy one and Tanella's that had like a gourmet brick fired pizzas. It was like a big, you know, restaurant, fancy coffee bar, gelato, all that. She used to go there all the time. They used to get ham, pineapple, and broccoli pizza. Have you ever had pineapple on your pizza?
I have, yes. And
what did you think?
I'm not like, I feel like I'm very neutral. Like, I'm not like one of those people that's like, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I'm also not one of those people that's like, get it off of my pizza. It doesn't belong on pizza. Like, I think it is fine. It's decent. I'm not mad at it, but it's not something I would like gravitate toward either. Those Fair. Are my feelings. Fair. But you know what I do like? I like a Hawaiian style burger. So if you put pineapple on a burger, I don't know why, but that really slaps when you do like, ooh, like a teriyaki kind of moment and like little like grilled pineapple with like a good like cheese and put that on like a burger. Now that is where it's at. That I will go to bat lovely. For that. It is 10 out of 10 delightful.
I love that. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Burgers are just so good.
Burgers are honestly really quality. Obviously, I hate fake ones, but fake ones are really quality, too.
Exactly. A burger's a burger.
Yeah. What are you? Are you pro or anti-pineapple on pizza?
I have absolutely no feelings about it whatsoever. I've never had it. I don't think I would try it just because of the texture mixing. You know? Yeah. I don't know if I could handle the – I think in my little neurodivergent brain, those two items are just so far apart that I can't imagine putting them together. But also, like, if that's your jam, like,
who am I to judge? Yeah.
Do you.
Yeah. I'm very indifferent toward it. I know people have strong feelings. I don't know how I would feel about ham, pineapple, and broccoli all together, though. I was like, are those all together? Because if so, no, I don't want. I also like love broccoli a lot. Like, I'm not one of those people that's like, ew, I hate, like, it was legitimately one of my favorite foods since childhood. But I am very particular about broccoli. I don't like raw broccoli. Get that the fuck away from me. On a vegetable tray, nah, I ain't about that, son. I want it cooked, and I want it to, like, be by itself. Maybe some cheese, maybe in a cheddar soup. But, like, when people are mixing broccoli with other things, like, I'm like, put in, like, a vegetable medley, steamed, obviously. Or don't give it to me at all. Like, raw broccoli or, like, broccoli on pizza, I'm like, no. But I do like a broccoli cheddar soup. That's fire.
I have had broccoli on a pizza before, and I do remember enjoying it.
Yeah, you liked it?
But it's like a white sauce pizza. You know, it's like kind of like a fancier type. Not like a standard pizza. Anyway.
I had it in a like calzone, I feel like. And I was like, I don't know if you belong here, broccoli. I'm not sure. Like, I should like it because it's broccoli and cheese, which theoretically like should be up my alley. And yet I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Well, now you guys know how we feel about pizza. And also, pizza sounds so good right now, honestly.
I know. The more I'm talking about it, the more I'm like, could go for a pizza.
Could go for a pizza right now, for sure. Anyway, any Husenheimer. So she goes to this pizza place. It is not the same as Antonella's. It's called Seaside Pizza, which is kind of funny because they're in Lakeview. Yep.
Not by the sea.
But it's like just a small rinky dink, like, you know, neighborhood pizza shop. It's just like a regular pizza shop. But she like she's like panicking this whole time. She's like, she goes inside and she's like, you know what? This is too much. And she turns around. She's like, I'm going to leave. And she turns around, but she gets like, does this little dance with a guy walking in.
This entire scene is, I was like, girl. Anxiety is calling me. Like,
yeah,
you this have is it. Like, I was like, oh, I relate to this too much.
Yes, I did. There's a group called the Silent Book Club, and they do it, you know, all over the country at different locations. So I finally went to the Charleston one this weekend, and it was this. It was panic from the second I walked in until the second I left. I did not speak to a single person. I was freaking out, but I stayed there for an hour. So
that is very commendable. I say yes. I'm that's impressive to me. I think honestly, that's a good first step. Just sometimes, like, seriously, the thought of like going somewhere, or like if I'm meeting up for a big group event and I look around the parking lot and I don't see anyone else's car, I'm like, I'm sitting in my car until I see someone else show up. Like, I think that, or yeah, if I really am very weird about going into a place that's like too empty. I'm like, oh God, what if I don't want to eat here? And then, but now I'm like the one patron. And so they definitely just said hello to me and they know that I'm here. And then I like feel guilted into ordering something.
Yes.
And she's like, oh God, this guy walked behind me. I'll look really weird if I leave right now. I should just look at this menu. Oh shit, he works here. Okay, well now I have to order something. And I was like, yes. Yes, I feel that in my soul.
Yep. Yep. This was so relatable. I love that he, so yeah, he works there. So now he's, and she's like, and now he was looking at me. So he's like, can I help you? And he's wearing a t-shirt that says Anger Management, the show, WCOM Radio. That's our boy. We know. Owen, shout out.
Yes. Oh, that made me so happy. I love a good Owen shout out. I love a good, the book, Just Listen. Oh my God, I couldn't think of the title of the book there for a second. I love a good Just Listen moment.
Yes, same. So she ends up ordering a slice of pepperoni and a drink because she's just like panicking and it's like the first thing she sees. This costs $3.42. Love that for deal. Lakeview. Good for you guys. You can't even get like a cheeseburger for $3.42 at McDonald's anymore.
Yep.
They have a cup next to the register filled with yum yum lollipops. So she's like looking through here, trying to find her favorite flavor. And the guy working behind the thing is like, hey, just to let you know, like if you're looking for cotton candy or bubble gum, there aren't any. And so we kind of, that's like a thing. And then just then a lady, and by a lady, I mean a gal, blonde gal, she walks into the shop. She's like clearly upset. She goes and shuts herself in the bathroom and the boy like follows her in there basically. And she says the pizza's delicious.
Yeah, the pizza apparently really slaps, which is great. She was like, it's, you know, kind of a basic pizza. It's just a slice of pepperoni, but it might be like the best slice of pepperoni pizza I've ever had. And I was like, and this is why you go to the like dingy mom and pop place. Like if you go to a pizza place and it has like a table and it's mostly takeout, that's when you know it's going to be fire, you know? Same thing with Chinese food. Like I need it to be like the Chinese, my favorite Chinese food place in Savannah. Literally, you cannot dine in. It is like you go to a takeout window. It's like you're doing a drug deal and you're like, here for the fried rice. And they give you the fried rice and it's amazing. That is the kind of style of which I'm like, yes, please do not let me into your establishment.
Yes.
Let's do this in the dark alley. give me my sprinkles. So I think she's found apparently good pizza. Also, what is steal that not only can you get a slice of pepperoni pizza and a drink, but then you're offered a complimentary, you know, lollipop for $3.42. I was like, dang, I need to go to Seaside Pizza. I'm telling you. She says that she's so involved in devouring her slice that at first she doesn't even notice someone else come from behind the counter. There's a guy who looks like about her dad's age, maybe a hair younger. And he's definitely probably like the owner of the place. He's checking in, making sure everything's okay. And she's like, yes, like this is like delicious. And so he asks her if she got a lollipop. And he again reinstates the cotton candy and bubble gum are very popular. And so she's like, oh yeah, like I did hear that. So then the boy and the girl come back out, anger management shirt boy and blonde upset girl come back out, and he's kind of like yelling at them. He's like, oh, you like leave the counter unattended. So Bangles, the girl, we're about to learn her name, but right now we don't know it. She's like, don't yell at him. Like I'm the one, like he was just checking on me. And so the guy's like, oh, like you needed checking on. And she's like, yeah, today I did. Daniel just dumps me. You definitely kind of get that they're like clearly a family. Like this is like brother, sister, dad. And dad's acting like, oh, yeah, like that guy was a chump. I knew he was no good for you. And the girl's like, actually, you liked him, but okay. She's like, that sounds fake, but okay. And so it sounds like she's kind of a little like, bad luck on love, because she says that apparently she was dumped by this guy Jake at the beginning of summer, and she's like, I can't deal with a seasonal abandonment. It's just too harsh. And I was like, that's fair. I was like, that's fair. I feel you on that, girl. So yeah, so it sounds like she's a little unlucky in love. And so then basically a couple skaters come in. This girl is like all these people are really insistent that she take a ding ding lollipop. Now the girl is like, you take a lollipop, they're complimentary. And so Sydney is like, clearly resistance was futile. This was expected. So she goes back up there and she's looking for flavor. The girl asks her what she's looking for. And she says root beer. The girl is shocked by this and is like, seriously? And I was like, listen, root beer lollipops, like the little yum yum slap. Yes, they are fantastic. She says that they are like the least popular, that they're left behind after mystery and blue raspberry are gone. And I was like, blue raspberry is like a hella popular flavor of lollipop, I feel like. But I guess not a big deal. I was like, what? Really? And so she's like, yeah, like, you know, I like the root beer ones. What can I say? So the girl goes in the back. She's kind of, Finny hears her like slamming cabinets, counters. She's not slamming the counter. She's slamming drawers and stuff. Clearly looking for something. When she comes back, it's like a whole like big old bag basically of root beer ones. And she's like, here for you. And she's like, at least 50 root beer yum yum lollipops, maybe even more. And so obviously she's like very surprised that she got all of these. And so the girl's like, I might hate them, but they're still candy. She explained, I couldn't just throw them away. This is where we learn that her name is Layla. So we finally get an introduction to her. And then our girl, Sydney, is like, you basically like, wow, thank you so much. And then she, you know, takes one, opens it up, and she says, I stuck it in my mouth. And just like that, I was 10 again, walking back from the quick sip with Peyton after spending my allowance on candy. He always got chocolate with peanuts, with almonds, with caramel. But I like sugar straight in time to savor it. And then she was saying, all of a sudden, she's like, I thought of my brother up at Lincoln and wondered if they ever got chocolate there. It occurred to me I should tell my mom to bring him some. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's very sad. So I was like, oh, that got me right in the feels. She's still kind of there. The guy, anger management shirt guy, has to take a phone call. So he answers. We learn that his name is Matt. Apparently, he's going to go off to do a delivery, which is close to home. So he'll drop off Layla on the way. They all kind of end up going out to the parking lot at the same time. Layla asks if Sydney goes to Jackson. And she's like, yeah, like, I actually just started today. And Layla's like, ugh. You know, how was it? And Sydney actually replies honestly and was like, not so great, but this helps, in reference to her like a stack of root beer yum yums. And so I was like, oh yeah, it always does, which is a nice little sweet. I'm like, okay, well, we're making a friend. I feel like we're making a friend. Layla seems very nice. So yeah, so then she's like, you know, now it's late enough. I can just go ahead and go home. It'll be right around dinner time. So she's, you know, heading home. She says, like, once the delivery truck is no longer near them, she goes ahead and, like, pops another lollipop in because she's feeling in her feels. That's helping her with her little nostalgia. And that takes us to chapter 4. So that's all, folks. Short and sweet. Not the Sabrina Carpenter album. Short and sweet today. Perfect that it ends with yum yums. Let us know what your favorite flavor is. I did enjoy the root beer. I honestly was also a weird kid who never enjoyed artificial flavored cotton candy things.
No, me either.
I like real cotton candy, but if you're like giving me something that's flavored cotton candy, ice cream, lollipops, no, nasty, hate it. Also, I forgot to say that Layla comes out of the bathroom with a pink lollipop in her mouth, so I think they mostly go to her. I think she takes all the bubble gum and cotton candy. Just a wild hunch, though. Yeah. And get away with it because your family owns the place. So obviously they're the ones supplying the complimentary lollipops. But yeah, there you go. To all you older siblings out there, give your younger sibling a hug. Let them know.
Let them know it's okay.
Let them know it's okay. Let them know that you understand their struggle. Not saying that y'all don't have struggles, but let them know, you know, we all have our own struggles. There's pros and cons to being, to each. Full House always taught me that being the middle child apparently is tough. So I don't know. That's probably true too.
It probably is.
But anyways, that was Saint Anything in chapter 3. This week we will be back for real this time, I'm pretty sure, unless something crazy happens on Thursday to discuss Smart House. Let me tell you all, I'm excited to discuss it. I watched it last week. I took notes. I have things to say. I'm excited to delve into that. So we got that coming up, and then we will actually have two chapters. So I guess we'll do 4 and 5 next week. For
Saint Thursday. Anything.
Thursday. We'll be doing that next Thursday.
Yes.
So come join us for a very special guest on Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's all I have. Any wrap-up thoughts, Michaelian?
Everybody go watch a couple of videos of Mudang and smile to yourself because she's a fucking gift. She's a gift.
That's the self-care that we all need. So yeah, go watch her. Go watch Mudang. Take care of yourselves. And we'll chat real soon.
Bye. Bye.